WBEZ is supported by RRF Foundation for Aging. Let's talk about ageism awareness. Did you know one of the many forms of ageism is internalized ageism? In fact, negative self-perceptions of aging decreases quality of life and can shorten our lifespan by more than 7 years. Let's recognize and call out ageism whenever and wherever it shows up. Check out rrf.org/news to learn more. That's rrf.org/news.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
To protect this city, we have to clean up these streets ourselves. One of these hoodlums killed my son.
You're planning revenge?
Aren't you?
People go to restaurants to be taken care of, to relax, to not have to think about anything else for a minute.
The clock is telling you how much money we have left. When that shows zero, this restaurant needs to cease operations.
Possible gas explosion, 50 to 60 victims.
Stay on the train until the ground settles.
Foundation's gonna give way.
Evacuate immediately.
People are still on that train, including my wife.
We've got two of our own down there.
Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. More and more television shows are filmed right here in Chicago. So, as we head into fall TV premiere season, we're going to peel back the curtain and hear from a cinematographer and a set decorator to learn what goes into making what we see on screen. Now, later we'll have a breakdown of the latest news, but first, let's hear more about why we decided to have this particular conversation. I'm here now with the producer of this episode, Linnea Dominic. Hey, Linnea.
Hey, Sasha.
Good to see you. So, why did we want to talk about this? Because we see what we see on screen, but no one knows how much time that takes or what's involved.
So there's actually, I think, a big divide about how much people and viewers need to know about what goes on behind the scenes. And I think it's a discussion that happens in sort of any industry. When I was working in hospitality, it was definitely something that we considered. How much do diners need to know about the work that goes on in the kitchen or what we do behind the scenes in front of the house?
Oh.
A lot of people were of the mind that they should just be able to enjoy and experience it. They don't need to know about how it gets made. But I personally love knowing how the sausage is made. I want to know.
Me too. I think maybe because we're nosy. nosy journalists. But I do see people light up, you know, even here at WBEZ when they get to come inside and mm-hmm. tour the radio station
yeah.
and see how In the Loop is put together. They're fascinated.
And like the things that you hear on the radio aren't by chance. Like if you're hearing a clip, there was a decision made about why that clip, why the length of it,
yes.
why it would add to the conversation. I personally think that enriches an experience of viewing or hearing something. And so we wanted to shine a light on all of the work that happens in Chicago and hear directly from the people who are making what we see. This was actually where we landed as our idea. But what started this off was a pitch about talking about fall TV and just getting recommendations of what to keep in mind for the fall.
Oh, that's
because
right.
premieres are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that was a little rote. And maybe not that interesting, and we could do something a little more localized.
Wasn't it our engineer Ethan that
it
started
sure
this
was.
Whole thing?
Yes.
You know what, Ethan, get on mic. You're right there.
Right. Okay, let me pop myself up real quick. Hello.
Hey,
yes,
Ethan.
Yes, Chicago TV, my former employer way back when. Interesting that we're having this conversation. The other segment from this show, this is from a previous show last week, was actually about long-term unemployment. And funny that, like, the whole show was like a full circle moment for me.
It was your life.
Who was long-term unemployed after the TV business went under with COVID stuff. And just so happens, I found new employment here at WBEZ.
So glad you did.
What was the most fascinating part of the conversation for you with the set decorator and the cinematographer?
Yeah. So I said in the control room as we were in the segment, one of the last questions was like, what TV are you watching right now? And I was like, there's no way that those guys are watching any TV at all. Like I have been in that game and you don't watch what you make, first off. And second, you're so inundated.
Yes.
You know, like I listen to the radio every single day for 8 hours a day. I don't listen to the radio when I leave.
That
you know?
Is so true. I was super embarrassed when I asked that question and they both looked at me like... Lady, come on. We don't watch anything.
I thought it was a good moment.
All right. I guess you'll keep it in the podcast.
Oh, certainly.
All right. That's enough of you two. Let's get these folks the interview that they came here for. Thanks, Ethan and Linnea.
Of course. Thank you.
No problem.
At the table, Joe Jody Williams. He's a cinematographer who has worked on shows like Power Book 4, Force, and Empire. And Eric Frankel, who's a set decorator for The Bear. Tell us what you do. I'll start with you, Jody. You are a cinematographer.
Yes, I'm a cinematographer. Also could be categorized as a director of photography.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people kind of get those titles kind of confused, but they are the same. So the job of a cinematographer is pretty much to execute the vision of the director or the overall show or movie.
Right.
So then that would be my responsibility to set the cameras, to set the lighting, to set the overall look, which you kind of come up with a production designer.
Yeah, yeah. And you make it sound so easy, Jody. I'll get on you about that later. Eric, what about you? Set decorating.
Yeah.
First of all, it sounds like fun.
A lot of people say that.
You're giving me the look like it's actually stressful.
It is fun. Everyone says, you know, I wish I could do it. You know, we go to stores. People are like, oh, I wish I had your job.
You're just at Home Goods.
Yeah, I'm just at Home Goods. I'm at antique stores spending not my money. Sounds great. But, you know, a set decorator, our job is we work for the production designer who overall job is to design a show. You know, we consult with cinematographers, the director, the production designer, creating the overall look for the show, you know, what we see on the camera. You know, but it's also nitty gritty. You know, I'm on the phone with electricians and, you know, rigging grips, trying to figure out how we're going to set up scenes, how we're going to rig certain things, light certain sets.
That's the part they don't tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think about how long you're at this, right? Because films, we know movies take a long time. And they're also in post-production for quite some time, too. What's the turnaround like for TV after you shoot something?
It can vary, you know. Nowadays, the turnaround is pretty quick and short.
Yeah. Aren't you still shooting sometimes while the show is actually airing?
Yeah, so it just depends a lot of times on how long a season is. You know, a lot of times for these really long shows, the long-running shows that have like 20 to 25 episodes, they'll definitely be shooting while they're still, and they're probably anywhere from 7 to 10 episodes ahead of where they currently are showing. But it could vary. I mean, on Empire, we were doing episodes, probably about 15 episodes a year. And we were probably about 4 or 5 episodes ahead of what we were actually showing.
Interesting.
So it was kind of crunchy, you know, but nowadays they're 30 half hour shows that are happening. And
as the audience, we love that. We're like, oh, yes, there's 25 episodes this season.
And then they release them all at once instead of, you know, week to week. So, you know,
interesting.
The landscape has changed.
Yeah, and I feel like I was on, you know, season 2 of Chicago PD, and we were maybe 2 episodes ahead when they were airing it. But now on The Bear, I mean, we finished the show, and it was released 2 weeks later. Mm. You know, that was such
What's that like for
turnaround.
You?
For me? Fine, you know, but I'm sure for the director and the editors, it's chaos.
Yeah, you're doing something cool, Eric. You're creating a story with the set, right? And you're doing this both for us as the audience as well as the actors. Tell me more about how it works for the actors. How does what you put on set help them get into character?
I mean, most of the time, a lot of what we do, me and my team, and the production designer, everything we do. We're creating an environment. You don't see a lot of what we do sometimes, you know. And most of it is sometimes just for the actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're creating these sets, these rooms, and they walk in and they're like, these are our rooms. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis on the Fishes episode walked in. She was like, this is my house.
Yeah. And so even though some of the things that you've placed on set so meticulously, sometimes they're out of frame, out of the camera's frame, but it makes sense to sort of create a sense of place for the folks on set.
Yeah, it's the little details. You know, we had a Gucci ashtray, Versace ashtray in our house, you know, things that, you know, you wouldn't see, but we know it's there. She sees it, you know, it just creates the environment for
right.
them.
Well, an example of what you're talking about happened in the wedding episode of season 4 of The Baird. So Richie's ex-wife is getting married and her fiance is having some issues with his soon-to-be stepdaughter. So that fiance asked Richie to talk to his daughter, who's hiding under a table. Let's listen.
Knock, knock. Hi. It's actually pretty nice under here, huh?
It's okay.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? You want to hang out with us for a little bit?
I'm fine.
Okay. Cool. Oh. You need anything? Want some snacks?
I'm not hungry for this again.
So this is an important plot moment. I bring it up for a reason because of what's happening on the table that this little girl is hiding underneath, right? We see a beautiful spread, Eric, of, you know, cakes, desserts. There's a painting in the background that you see part of. Tell us about putting that together.
I mean, it was insane. I mean, we had production meetings just for the table. I mean, we went through three
really?
Different variations of the table. I mean, we had grips, cinematographer, electrician, sound department. You know, we sat in an office designing this table.
What were some of the sticking points, like the placement of cupcakes?
The placement under the table, you know, how it was going to be built, how it was going to sound under there, how we were going to light it, how, you know, who was sitting where. We had cardboard cutouts of everyone's butt, where they were going to sit, you know. Meticulously placing this scene, you know, there were holes drilled in with microphones around so it could look the best.
I cannot believe all of that went into a long table. First of all, it was beautiful, but wow, the work that goes in behind the scenes that we would just never imagine.
Yeah, we do it so it could be the most efficient possible, you know, and look the best it can. That's what we're all about, is efficiency and working together. You know, we want everyone to do the best they can.
Jody, you know, I was super excited to hear about your work on Force because I'm a huge Power fan. Watched the original series, you know, couldn't get enough. Every Sunday night, it was ridiculous. Joining everybody on Twitter, I was a fanatic. And so I remember one of the most iconic things about that series is, you know, the fact that it's based in New York and just all of the scenes, all of the shots that just kind of bring you to New York City and make you feel like you're part of the nightlife and all of the different scenes. Here now we transition to a spinoff, Power Book 4, set in Chicago, because it's based on, of course, the Tommy Egan, one of the main characters in the original. And I love what you've done in terms of bringing us to Chicago. Mm-hmm. What was that like? And what was, take me back to the thinking of just kind of making sure that we see some of the more iconic places that we know in Chicago and bring that to a national audience.
Well, yeah, I think I was very excited to be able to shoot Chicago for Chicago. I think the thing is, I'm not originally from here. I'm from Cleveland, but I've lived in Chicago more than I've lived in Ohio. So, but I love Chicago like it's my home. So, you know, over the years in my career, you know, there've been a lot of projects that have come here that have shot for other cities. You know, like being on Empire was shot for New York.
That's right.
So you couldn't see the city. You couldn't really see much of the skyline. You couldn't feel any of the architecture. So this show, me getting a chance to actually, you know, exploit the architecture and the alleys and, you know, all these things about Chicago and the water and the beach.
The cop cars.
The cars, you know.
The rows of, you know, just stores, the iconic places that bakeries and shops that
the bakeries,
we would recognize.
Yeah, the neighborhoods, the parks, you know, all of those things. So I was very involved with, you know, picking spots, helping pick spots, even with the location, you know, location manager, like, hey, okay, I know we have this spot here, but there's another place maybe we should look at, you know, da 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 da. So I always kind of keep location. I take pictures of locations that I like, and I just kind of put them in my Rolodex and like, okay, I could use this spot.
Absolutely.
You know, at some point. So,
yeah. Speaking of location, I'm thinking of, you know, I want to play a clip from one of my favorite scenes in season two. This is just Tommy Egan doing what Tommy does.
You killed her, didn't you?
There were a million bullets flying that night, Tommy. I mean, have you even considered it might have been friendly fire?
Why don't you just admit that you did it? You'll feel better. Maybe you had to do it. It was you or her. See, I don't understand that. I just need to know Claudia so I can stop thinking about it.
It wasn't me.
You could keep saying that. But I know it was you. And as soon as I can confirm it, you did.
Mm. Leaving her with a threat in his own Tommy way. But, you know, behind them, I think they were standing somewhere. We can see sort of like the lake behind them, the skyline. It's just beautifully shot, Jody.
Thank you. Yeah, that was right on the river near the old post office. There's a little nook down there off the river.
Ah.
And it's just one of those spaces you just never really get to see. A lot of, you know, we see the lakefront a lot, but you don't really see the river as much, and there's so many nooks and corners to that. And so,
I love that I just played audio of a scene, and you, in your mind's eye, was able to go right
there,
to the visual.
Yeah. Oh man, I was so excited about that location, and I wanted to see as much of it as we could. So, so we used some drone as well to kind of establish the space and the architecture and all of the buildings along the river, you know, just to kind of try to set it up. But they were just kind of right on this little surface area where there's, you know, lights and there's like land architecture with the, you know, it was just
nice.
It's just beautiful. A lot of light, great lines around there.
And Eric, you know, we think of Chicago as this theater town, but it's becoming more of a destination for TV filming. How much has CineSpace, you think, contributed to that?
You know, I think CineSpace has contributed quite a bit. I mean, it gave it, it's given us, I think, more room. You know, there was a real struggle, I think, when I first started. There just wasn't a place. And now we have other studios, too, popping up. I mean, now we have the Field Studio. There's a new studio, I think, being built on the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
And you've been able to work in Chicago the whole time for your whole... career.
Yeah. I've been able to keep busy. It's been nice. And,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
And it's not always in a studio, you know. Chicago's kind of scrappy. It's not like LA. It's not like New York. We don't have the big prop houses. We work with a lot of small businesses, a lot of mom and pop shops, sometimes just vacant buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, worked on a lot of low budget movies where we just use vacant warehouses and close down businesses to then we make them our home just for
you do what you, you
know,
need to do.
Maybe a few months and we're out of there.
You split your time, Jody, between Chicago and other cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How does that work out? It's with Atlanta, New York.
Yeah. Atlanta, New York have primarily been, you know, the other cities that I work in. A very little LA over the years.
Yeah.
But Chicago has pretty much been my base ever since I got out of school.
Yeah.
But that's just one little thing about CineSpace. It's been a major contributor to bringing in longer shows, more space. You know, I worked on the very first show that came there, which was Boss, and that was like, you know, with Kelsey Grammer, and it kind of started it
space
all.
Was so raw back then.
Yeah, very raw.
Well, yeah. Before we go, tell me about a show that you're looking forward to this season. You first, Eric.
A show I'm
looking forward to this season. Surely you get time to watch TV. No breaks?
I have a 6-month-year-old baby at home.
Okay,
so.
Well, you have a good excuse. Jody.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm on the spot on that one. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. There's a new thing that just dropped, I guess, that was shot and shelved. It was called Damascus. So I just got into that. And I guess Amazon shot it and then it was put on the shelf for a couple of years.
Well,
and it's
we will
Tubi
tune
now.
Into Damascus and we'll see what you're checking out. Jody Williams is a cinematographer who's worked on shows like Power Book 4, Force and Empire. And Eric Frankel is a set decorator for The Bear. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
WBEZ is supported by RRF Foundation for Aging. Let's talk about ageism awareness. Did you know one of the many forms of ageism is internalized ageism? In fact, negative self-perceptions of aging decreases quality of life and can shorten our lifespan by more than 7 years. Let's recognize and call out ageism whenever and wherever it shows up. Check out rrf.org/news to learn more. That's rrf.org/news.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, now let's catch you up on what Chicago is talking about. At the table to help me break down the biggest headlines and stories was WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane, WBEZ reporter and Weekend Edition anchor Michael Puente, and Sun-Times reporter Violet Miller. Claire kicked things off by giving us the basics on the ICE and Border Patrol presence that we've been seeing in the Chicago area.
Armed federal agents patrolling Chicago's downtown streets, most notably Michigan Avenue. Dozens of armed federal agents walking the streets, you know, near some of our most prominent tourist and shopping areas, right? This is amid this ongoing increase of immigration enforcement in both the city and the burbs. So reports of officials in military fatigue, carrying large guns. And last week, they were also on the river. So this is now land and sea.
That's right.
So the law enforcement presence certainly still feeling it here. And this is also, as we should say, 200 National Guard troops being deployed in Portland, Oregon yesterday. So something we're keeping tabs on here and there.
To which Portland officials are saying, no, please leave.
Yes.
Mike, here's something else that was disturbing here from the weekend. WBEZ and the Sun-Times actually caught up with the head of this Border Patrol effort in our area, Greg Bovino. He was on the street in downtown Chicago, as Claire mentioned yesterday. He made some concerning statements, though, about who his officers are targeting. Tell us more.
That's right. He told our reporter, Chip Mitchell, that they were arresting people based on how they look. And they even said, we wouldn't arrest somebody who looks like you. Chip is white. And that is very concerning. I'm not sure. This has to violate a person's due process, a constitutional rights of search and seizure, just based on how you look.
It's also very racist.
Oh, absolutely. Let's just say that right there. It's very racist. That should go without saying. But at the same time, it's concerning because if you get picked up by these troops, where do you go? Where are your rights? Do you have access to an attorney? How long are you going to be there? This isn't like being picked up by the police department. This is now military involvement. And I'm not sure where this is going.
Yeah.
Are they trying to spark something more? Is it just a for show? Because you saw some of the patrols on the Chicago River with the big Trump sign building behind it. What is this? Is this a TV show? What's
walking
going on
in line,
over here?
You know, just some masked, some not. It definitely looks like a photo op, just an extension of what we saw going up and down the river last week. You've been covering this federal presence, Violet, for weeks now. I'm curious what stands out to you in this latest development.
So the last few days, we've definitely seen use of force increase, more targeting of journalists. Unraveled Press co-founder Raven Geary was shot in the face on Friday morning after ICE agents moved around to target journalists from another position so that they could hit them instead of the cover they were hiding behind. And then the other Unraveled Press co-founder, Steve Held, was detained Saturday night for several hours after he was filming an arrest. They took him in, and he was released without charges. But then there's also Mario Guevara, an Atlanta journalist. So this is not just here. He's been in ICE detention for 100 days, and he's facing deportation now. So journalists are definitely becoming
becoming more of targets for these federal agents.
Yeah, the presence of these federal agents is just extremely concerning, and I'm seeing a lot more of just regular citizens, not just journalists, just regular citizens, kind of just getting up in their faces. I saw lots of footage on TikTok over the weekend, mm-hmm. just people just being fearless and just kind of walking right up to them and saying, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Why are you here? What's your purpose? Some of the action on this immigration front has been, as we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, at the Broadview Detention Center in the western suburbs. Protests still happening there. Federal officers using pepper balls and chemical agents to disperse the protesters. Violet, you have a story about pepper balls being fired when there weren't actually protests happening. What was that about?
Yeah, so, you know, the folks were just kind of, before this gate went up, the city is now, the village of Broadview is now taking issue with, there were protesters blocking the entrance to the parking lot for the Broadview facility, try to stop cars from leaving with agents that are going on raids, and stop vans that were coming back with detainees. And so, you know, they would get pepper balls fired at them for that. But also, they oftentimes were just standing there dancing, listening to music, at one point celebrating the return of Jimmy Kimmel when that news broke last week. Mm-hmm. And that also got pepper balls fired at them with orders to stay off the property, you know, being barked at them afterwards by federal agents. This is now extended to nearby private property. There's a parking lot that goes up against the fence. Mm-hmm. People are getting maced, pepper balled, shot at with rubber bullets, things like that, just for standing in this parking lot.
Wow.
And like you said, shouting off and at federal agents through the fence.
Yeah, and this fence is coated as well.
Yeah, and a CBS reporter who was alone when there was no protest going on yesterday also had pepper balls shot at her. Broadview police are now investigating federal agents over that because a criminal complaint was filed.
Wow. And Mike, the mayor of Broadview has spoken out saying, she's saying, ICE is, quote, making war on my community. What was the response?
Well, the response was more from the officers who are there. They said there was going to be a S show because of those statements. So now they're trying to quell an elected mayor of her town from speaking out on this. So there's so many constitutional violations, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, that they're not allowing. Now they're picking up people based on a racist mandate on how they look. Again, it's really not certain where this is going. Is this for show? It's certainly not for public safety, because if it was for public safety, they would go into areas where maybe there was some crime going on, coordinated with the local police department. They're not doing that.
Mm.
And so perhaps more pressure needs to be put on elected officials, both Democrats and Republicans, to put a stop to this.
Yeah. Claire, how about we change things up a little bit here?
Let in the light.
Let in a little positivity.
Yes. So this was a lovely story. I think I know what you're alluding to here.
Hope Chicago.
Hope Chicago, getting it done again. And this really speaks to WBEZ's Sarah Karp, knowing how to pull on the heartstrings a little bit. She spoke with some students and some family members, but she reported that all seniors from 5 high schools in Chicago now eligible for big scholarships from this group, Hope Chicago.
Nice.
So you might remember this, some of this, us listeners. Hope Chicago made a pretty big splash back in 2022 when it promised free tuition plus room and board, which we know ain't cheap, to all the graduating classes in those schools for 4 years. So this past June, the graduating class was thinking, oh, maybe we weren't going to get this, but the organization extended the scholarships for one more year.
Nice.
Though it had scaled back the program somewhat, but we heard from, you know, a mother from one of these students expressing so much joy and, again, giving us some of this light that maybe we could all sort of be reminded of.
Everybody can use a little bit of positivity at some point in time, especially with what else we've got going on. Speaking of what else are you paying attention to this morning, Claire?
Well, I won't talk about where I was over the weekend, but we'll just say
it was probably a baseball game.
We'll say one of Chicago's two baseball teams is going to the postseason. But in Mike Puente's favor, both teams won yesterday.
Yes, absolutely.
So White Sox beat the Nationals 8-0 in their end of season game. And the Cubs swept the Cardinals, we should say, with a 2-win yesterday at Wrigley. And the wild card series the Cubs are participating in kicking off tomorrow against the Padres. That'll be a 2:08 start at Wrigley.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell just feeling the joy, feeling the light, feeling the love as well, but talking about it, not taking this opportunity for granted, that it's a team effort.
Keep your head in the game.
Heck yeah. So we're going to know at least these two games coming up for the wild card will be played at Wrigley Tuesday and Wednesday, both 2:08 starts. It's a best of three series.
Excellent.
Against the Padres. So we'll chat Wednesday about the vibe.
All right. Well, speaking of vibes, let's talk about those Bears, Mike. A 25-24 win over the Raiders.
Absolutely. What an exciting game. You know,
were you nervous? Because that came down to the wire.
Oh, the whole game, asked my wife, you know, she's like, they're going to lose.
You're biting your fingernails.
Yeah, you know, we want every game to be a blowout like last week, you know. But at the same time, it's not going to happen. This team is getting better. You got to win those close games. And that's exactly what they did. So hats off to the Bears. And we're going to book our Super Bowl tickets, right?
Yeah,
LA
absolutely.
With Bad Bunny halftime show. Let's do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. That sounds like a ball for sure. Now, let's switch gears and go back to that immigration enforcement story, because it is it's taken over our city streets, Mike. So much going on there. I wonder what questions are still remaining for you at this point. What are you keeping an eye on as we move forward, especially now that we're seeing something that we've been sort of alluding to for weeks? We weren't sure if it was going to happen. Now we're seeing it. Border Patrol is walking around making arrests downtown.
Right. Well, again, where is this going to lead to? I'm wondering if there's going to be a government shutdown in a couple of days, how that might impact them. For being here. How are they going to get paid? They are walking around with their face covered. I think it's in violation of some state law or city law ordinance that they're not supposed to do that. Again, when you get picked up, where do you go? Mm-hmm. What right do they have to target somebody on how they look on a racist policy? It's going to require the mayor, the governor, state senators, elected officials, both Democratic and Republican, to put a stop to this.
Yeah.
Because this is illegal. I never thought I would see a time where you'd see troops in an American city.
Just walking around. Yeah, that's wild.
And the worst part is, this is the most beautiful time in Chicago right now. We shouldn't have to see this in downtown, troops going around. It's going to be cold pretty soon. Let's see if they come here when it's 20 below.
Yeah. Well, that is a good question. Yeah. Violet, you've been looking at this from so many different angles over the last several weeks. What comes to mind for you? What are you processing right now as we watch this happen right before our eyes?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to process.
There's so much.
But I will say, I mean, we have way, way more questions than answers at this point. I mean, the Trump administration stopped sharing immigration detention information or large swaths of it in January. My colleague Lauren Fitzpatrick dug into that, so there's more details on our website. But, you know, we just got an update last Thursday per a Guardian report. There are 30% of the folks in immigration detention right now do not have any criminal charges, not even pending criminal charges.
30%?
30%. Mm. And so now they outweigh the number of folks in detention with criminal charges, which is the first time that's happened either Trump president. So obviously, you know, that is.
But they're getting rid of the worst of the worst. Quote.
Yes. And my colleagues Sophie Sherry and Tom Shuba also dug into that. So if you want to read more on the actual charges and arrests that we've been seeing in the city of Chicago, you can read more on that there. But also questions about what's going on inside the Broadview facility, what conditions people are being detained in. The journalist Steve Held, who I mentioned was detained before, he got a look inside and said the rooms looked dirty and uncomfortably full. Mm. You know, dozens of people being held in 30 by 30 rooms. So lots of questions.
This episode of the In the Loop podcast was produced by me, Linnea Dominic, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. Thanks for listening.